Thank you, John. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, please, and I'll get us started in a word of prayer. Thank you, Father. I thank you for the victories that we are seeing come through every day. It's amazing to see what you're doing in this nation. It's amazing, Lord God. It's truly amazing. I thank you, Father God, for your mercy on us. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I'm in awe at what you've done. I thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, just ask that you would send your Spirit to come and be our teacher tonight. Come and be our teacher. Open up your word to us. Let the anointing come forth, Lord God. Give us the grace to receive, the grace to hear. Give us what we need tonight, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that you are with us. I thank you. I just thank you that you are here with us. Lord, I pray that you would settle things around us so that we can press in and receive the word you have for us tonight. Bring us understanding and clarity through your word. Help prepare us, Lord God, for the days ahead. You're redefining your church in this hour, and we want to be a part of that. We want to be a part of the transformed body of Christ. So help us, Lord, to receive what you have for us tonight. I thank you, Lord. In your precious name. Amen. Several months ago, the Lord began speaking to me about the days ahead. And as he was speaking to me, some of the things he shared with me, some of the things that were revealed, I just wrote them down. Because they just seemed a little bit too much for me, too much to even kind of wrap my head around it. But this year has been a year about redefining the church. What does the church look like? What is the church that God has created look like? See, man has come in and corrupted it all up. I mean, I think we really wouldn't argue that. I think most people wouldn't argue that. And over the course of the last many months, the Lord's been giving me words targeting where he sees weaknesses in the church today and targeting where he wants to draw us in to his kingdom, to the kingdom mindset. And throughout this year, I've shared it. It's on our website, on our prophetic and intercessors training ground. If you want to go back over that, that's where we put all of mine and mom's teachings. So if you want to go review those, especially with where we're going, I would suggest that. So several months ago, I was in a conversation about the two witnesses. And the two witnesses spoken of in Revelation. And I'm going to turn there. Just keep your finger in Ephesians, please. Because I want to share with you what the Lord has been speaking to me about those two witnesses and what that might look like for us. So turn with me to Revelation 11 really quick. I'm going to start at verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoured their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. So we're not going to talk about the whole killing them thing right now. What we're going to talk about is the two witnesses. And I believe that these two witnesses are two companies of people that God is raising up in this hour and preparing to be in the end times. That they're not two separate individuals, it's two companies of people. I believe one will carry the mantle of Elijah, and the other one, I'm fairly certain, will carry the mantle of Moses. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight, is the mantles. Now, if you look up the word mantles in the Bible, you'll see it about 15 times. It's just not in there a lot. And so it's kind of difficult to do a deep dive on what a mantle is to gain a greater understanding of it. But all we have to do is look at the mighty men of God and see what a mantle looks like. What is a mantle? Why does God give it to us? Why do we need it? Well, let's go back over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Okay, so what is this saying? First of all, this is Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I taught on Ephesians. It might have even been last year, maybe crossing over to the first of this year. Those are also on the website. But this is Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And at least three times in this letter, we hear Paul praying for the church at Ephesus. And it's important for us when we read scripture and we see, I pray, or giving thanks, and we look at that because that's a prayer that Paul has made, or Peter or James have made on behalf of a people group that he's writing to. And we can take those prayers and apply them to our own lives. That's where we get the armor of God. We get that in Ephesians, and Paul is praying that over the Ephesians. So if you see a prayer in the New Testament, this is just a little side note, grab hold of that prayer. John 17 is another beautiful example when Christ prayed for the disciples and all those that would follow, that they would have union with him. When you see a prayer, do not be afraid to grab hold of that prayer and pray it over yourself, your family, your children, your grandchildren, and so on. Okay, so back to this prayer that he's given. What is he saying? He's saying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What do we need revelation of? We need revelation of the kingdom of God. We need to know about the kingdom of God. We don't have a lot of really good examples here in this earth, unfortunately, but we can go to the Word of God and get divinely inspired revelation from the Word. That's what the Bible is written for. That's why we need to be in it every day. That's why we need to bathe our time in the Word in prayer, so that the time we spend in the Word can be processed through our spirit, through our prayer. He can take the Word and He can stir it up in our spirit man, and He can expose and reveal His Word to us. That is His greatest desire, to have His children enter into a place where they can begin receiving the mysteries of the kingdom of God. What do? The mysteries strengthen us. They give us insight. They give us authority. When we understand the mysteries of God, we can walk in the authority of God. This whole passage of Scripture, when He is saying to pray for wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of Him. You know, these are the seven spirits of God that we're talking about. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. This is about our eternal life. But what we often leave kind of on the back burner is, what part of our inheritance do we get now? And I'm not talking about, you know, the prodigal son who wanted his inheritance right now so he could go spend it. This isn't like that. This is the Heavenly Father granting His children part of their inheritance now. What part of our inheritance can we have now? Anything that comes by way of the Spirit. Anything that we find in the Word that we have paid the price for, we can receive and function in. We are moving into a season when we will need to trust the Word of God. We will need the Word of God to be opened up to us, the mysteries of His Word to be unfolded into our, not just our minds. Prayer takes the Word from our minds down to our hearts and our spirit man. We need the Word of God, the mysteries, to be unfolded in our spirit man. Why? Why is that so important? Because we need to understand, verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. This first word, power, is dunamis. That is power through God's ability. So the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. That word according to is a significant word in the Bible because it means it's kata. And what that means is down from above. When we pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is saying your heavenly will be brought down here into the earth. We don't want our will. We don't want man's will. We want heavenly will brought down here in the earth. So this word according to means to bring the heavenly will down here in the earth. And it's very important for us to understand that. It's very significant for us. And one of the things that we have faced in the body of Christ is a failure, and I'm sorry, I know that's kind of negative, but a failure to effectively teach the church warfare. To teach the church that our inheritance that's in heaven can be tapped into now while we're in this earth. Intercessors understand this. Intercessors tend to understand this because they're willing to engage their spirit to intercession and to weep before the Lord. They're willing to allow him to use them. That's what intercessors do. They pray out the heart of God. So the heavenly will of God, they pray it out here in earth. That's what they do. The prophets hear the word of the Lord from heaven, and they release it here in the earth. That's what they do, is bringing our inheritance, our heavenly inheritance, down here in this earth, so that we can function in the power and the authority of the living God. You can look at the greats. You can look at, for example, Catherine Coleman. Catherine Coleman was a woman who deeply loved the Lord. She went into ministry. She talks about her parents. They were two different religions, and neither of them were very good at the religion that they chose. I think one was a Baptist, the other was a Methodist, and neither of them worked very hard at it. So one Sunday they went to one church, the other Sunday they went to the other church. But her sister got married to a pastor, and she became a nanny and traveled with them. And then the ministry wasn't really able to afford paying her or even traveling with her to take care of the children anymore. So she was kind of just released back home. But she got a fire. She got bit with a passion for ministry, to see the power of the living God released here in this earth. And so she tried to go home, but she was so discontent because she was not fulfilling her call. So Catherine Coleman, as we know, her ministry grew and grew. She got married to a man she knew she wasn't supposed to be married to. Later, she got divorced. And because of that divorce, she was rejected from many churches through the Bible Belt. But there was this little church that was hungry for what she had. Because all Catherine did was press in to her inheritance that she might release it here in the earth. She prayed and she sought him. She knew she could do nothing in her own strength. She knew that she almost missed it. She almost missed it and didn't fulfill her call. So when she stepped out of that marriage and began to fulfill her call, her inheritance started to pour in. What did Catherine Coleman do? Well, we all know her as a woman who did mighty miracles. I've talked about her several times. But how? How did she do that? She tapped into her inheritance. Before every service, Catherine Coleman would walk around and she would pray. And she would not go out on that stage until she had received the fullness of the Spirit. She wouldn't go out on stage, and they all knew not to bother her until she had it. That auditorium could be full, time could be ticking away, and she was not there to please man. She was there to release the inheritance of the kingdom of God in the earth. Countless people were healed through her ministry because she emptied herself. She didn't just empty herself on days where she did services. She emptied herself day after day after day so that she could receive the fullness of her inheritance and release the inheritance of the kingdom of heaven into the people, because she knew it would set them free. She was called out of the world and up to God. She was called to release the inheritance into the earth. See, that's what God is calling us to do. Not just go and do miracles, We're moving into times that are not going to be very comfortable. Right now, the Lord is blessing our country under our president, who is under the mantle of Cyrus, and we're going to talk about mantles in a moment. He's blessing us. He's blessing our country. I know the mainstream media doesn't reveal those little details, but we tell you time and time again, you should get off mainstream media, because they are not going to speak the truth to you. They're going to tell you what they want you to believe. That's why they endorse abortion. That's why they endorse Hollywood. That's why they do not expose pedophilia. That's why they do not expose the dangers and what's going on through abortion, through our educational system and the destruction of our children. That's why they don't do that to you. They don't want you to know that information. And they certainly don't want you to know how Trump is undoing all that stuff. So get off mainstream media. So right now the Lord is blessing our country. But there will be a time, and I'm not saying it's tomorrow, I'm not saying it's next year, I'm saying we are approaching the end. And there are people that God is raising up to be the end time army. And these members of the end time army will carry powerful mantles. And I believe those mantles will be that of Elijah and that of Moses. Why do I say that? Well, at the beginning of this year, the Lord told me that we were moving into the kingdom age. And if you look in the book of Matthew, you can see that John the Baptist, he's on the scene very early in that. And what does he say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And as I was releasing that, the Lord kept speaking to me, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And as he poured that down over me, he was saying to me, this is now, and that is why I am calling the people to repentance. That is why I am paving the path for restoration of the church, for redefinition of the church, because my church is not ready, but I am releasing the anointing to get her ready. It's time for us to stop giving in to the ways of the world and start getting ourselves on the mindset of our heavenly inheritance. So what is a mantle? I was having a conversation with a dear friend of mine recently about this. What is a mantle? What is it? And, you know, with the passing of Neville Johnson. I really loved him. With the passing of Neville, Neville, he really believed he was going to be here to usher in the end time army. And so I remember when I got the news, and I hardly slept that night, and I just wept. I woke up the next morning really, really early, and I just wept. And I thought, how could he be taken? He had so much left to give. And it took me some time to work through this. And I began to think upon the mantle that rests upon Neville. He was a man who drew you into intimacy. We know he was prophetic, but he drew you into the priesthood. which is like what? The mantle of Moses. He drew you into the priesthood. That's what mom does. Draws us into the priesthood. And I said, Lord, but what about his work? And then I began to think about the others that have gone recently that it shook me to my core. David Wilkerson, he called the church to repentance. He drew us into intimacy with God. John Paul Jackson, a prophet to the nations. Bob Jones. I believe that Bob Jones was called to unify the vine. And by that I mean the one new man to release that. He was a prophet, as we know. And the very first message I did on this line, have you learned how to love? Was on the anniversary of his death. And as I shared at that time, he had died. And it took him, I believe it was 38 years before he could go back to heaven. It took him 38 years to learn how to love and make it back into heaven. These are generals. In the army, generals in the army of God. These are people that have shaped nations. These are people that have shaped the body of Christ in a powerful way. Let me tell you, if you aren't listening to people that challenge you to go deeper in God, that challenge you to learn how to engage in spiritual warfare, that challenge you to pray for your nation, that challenge you into a place of intimacy, a place behind the veil. You need to rethink who you're giving your time to. Because we're moving into an hour when we need to prepare to be among those that are doing just that. Mantles carry revelation. We can look at Ezekiel. We can look at Daniel. And consider the very picturesque revelation that they brought in the Word of God about the end times. Isaiah, and the way he described the Messiah. These are prophetic mantles. They bring forth revelation. And we're in a time, and according to Paul, we can pray and tap into our heavenly inheritance and receive the revelation. Receive the mysteries of intimacy. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, in case you didn't know, he was in prison when he wrote this. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by the revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul sought the Lord, he received the mysteries of the kingdom, and he released them. We can receive the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. My mom, Nita, has a series on the mysteries, the mystery of intimacy. I've done several teachings on the mystery of the kingdom of God. Neville has several teachings on the mystery of the kingdom of God. Mysteries are not something that are unknowable. It's not something he wants to keep hidden. It's something he wants to reveal to us. It's something that he wants to expose to us about the kingdom of heaven to give us the strength and the power and the authority to walk this earth. Because he knows that our heavenly inheritance, when received and applied and understood here on earth, will grant us what we need to accomplish what we've been created to accomplish. Mantles release upon the person that they're resting the ability to accomplish what they've been called to accomplish. Moses wasn't chosen by God because he was saved and watched by Miriam in the reeds and then sent to live in the palace so he'd know the inner workings of Egypt. That's not why he was chosen to deliver. It wasn't a tale of two sons, adopted sons gone wrong. He was chosen by God. He was saved by God. And he was sent out into the wilderness to learn God. And that is where the mantle to deliver the nation, to move the nation from captivity to freedom came. When he was out and saw that burning bush, and the Lord God said, take your shoes off, this is holy ground, and he fell on his face, the mantle was placed upon him to accomplish what he accomplished. There wasn't just anybody that could go up there. Moses, had he not received the mantle, would not have been able to go deliver the people. Do you hear that? If he had not received the mantle, the priesthood mantle, he would not have been able to deliver the nation of Israel. He could have gone in and said, listen, I know the inner workings of this palace like you wouldn't believe. I have roamed these halls. I was there as an undercover agent by God, and I know all of their laws, all of their rules, and I know how to go and argue your case. And I can get you out of here, guys. You just gotta follow me. He had been in the desert for so long, he stuttered. God had to send Aaron to be his spokesperson. But the mantle rested upon Moses. The deliverance came because Pharaoh had no choice but to release the people of God. When he said, let my people go, Pharaoh had no choice. It wasn't because he felt rejected by his brother, adopted brother, that he wanted to please family. It's because the mantle of the deliverer, of the priest that would usher a people from imprisonment to freedom in God. He formed the nation through Moses because Moses had the mantle of the priesthood, which delivers people from the captivity of their sin and releases them into intimacy with God. Do you hear me? The mantle of the priesthood delivers people from the captivity of sin and releases them into the intimacy with God. That's what the priesthood does. Jesus, our high priest, accomplished it on the cross. Peter tells us that we are a royal priesthood, living stones. High priest, royal priesthood, sons and daughters of the Most High God, ready to receive the inheritance. What is the inheritance? The mantle you've been created to carry. When these generals go on to be with God, what happens to their mantle? We can look at Elijah in Kings. 1 Kings 19. That's one of the few references we hear of an actual mantle. And it was represented by the coat that Elijah wore. And I gotta tell you, if you read through Kings, 1 Kings, you're gonna see, because he said, I want a double portion of your mantle. Isn't that what Elisha told Elijah? I want a double portion. He said, well, if you're there when I go, you can have it. And then he spent the next several years trying to shake the guy. He said, go home. Go home. Go. He's trying to flee into solitude. But Elisha was hungry for the inheritance. And he said, no. I will follow you until the day you die. I mean, you hear of rich kids doing that because they're going to get a lot of money that they can spend. This is a man who is following a man who barely had the money to feed himself half the time. God divinely fed Elijah how many times? And he had to live off that food. There's times he had to live off of it for 40 days. The ravens came and fed him. He lived with the widow for, 3 years while Jezebel and Ahab were wreaking havoc on the nation? And the oil and the flour never ran dry. Divine provision. He didn't have money. So Elisha wasn't following him because he was about to get a big paycheck. He wanted the inheritance of God. And he was driven. And the Bible is very clear in 1 Kings 19 when Elijah and Elisha go across that river. What did Elijah do? He took his mantle, he placed it on the river. The river split. They walked across. And then what happened? The chariot came and took him up. And Elisha was there. And he said, where's my double portion? Because I'm about to move mountains. He saw the power of the living God. He saw the inheritance. He saw the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He saw that the mantle could actually change things for the people of God. And he was ready. And the chariot came and he took Elijah home. And the mantle fell upon Elisha. And he went back to the Jordan. He laid the cloak on the river and it ran dry. And he performed greater works than Elijah. A mantle. When a person is taken home, is passed. It's past. Because we don't need that mantle in heaven. We need it here. Because that mantle gives us the ability to function in the office that God has called us to. It gives us the power of the living God, His power working through us. It gives us the grace to handle the rejection, to handle the suffering. Paul, he had a tremendous mantle to the Gentiles, a tremendous mantle to the church. Today, it still, his word still goes forth. Why? Because the mantle that the word carried, the anointing is in the words. What did he say in 1 Corinthians? He said, I sought the Lord to remove the thorn in my flesh, Christ. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. So having a mantle that's an earth-shaking mantle, a mantle that saves nations, a mantle that shifts the path a nation is on, does not come without suffering. What does the Bible say about Jesus? What does Hebrews tell us? He learned obedience through his suffering, even unto death. We're not exempt from suffering. We're not exempt from difficulties. But our obedience in the midst of it is key to receiving and walking out the mantle. A mantle enables us to do what's needed in the earth. David, King David, had a mantle. You know, he was a songwriter, and we all love David. David, a man after, you know, God's own heart. The beauty, you know, the humanity, you know, the man sinned so many times, but he was so quick to repent. He had no qualms about weeping before his people. He had no qualms about repenting for his sin. Because his heart was not to please man, it was to please God. But the mantle that was upon David to be king when he was anointed by Samuel was to unify the tribes of Israel. Under Saul's reign, you know, Saul was the first king of Israel. 1 Samuel is when we see that shift from a nation under prophets to a nation under kings. David's mantle, under Saul's reign, division came in the tribes. They were not happy with Saul's leadership, I think, if you read, you know, 1 Samuel, you'll see that pretty clear. But when the mantle was lifted off of Saul and it was placed on David, it didn't come, the fulfillment of his role as king, his actual being appointed as king. He was chosen by God as a boy, but being chosen and appointed publicly as king didn't come for many, many years. And it didn't come easily. You know, he spent how long with Saul trying to kill him? How long did he have to battle Saul's son? Because Saul's son was going to inherit part of it. But David's people anointed him. The mantle that was on David was to reunify the tribes of Israel. That's what a mantle does. It changes history. It's from God to effect change in the earth. When Cyrus became king, he was not, in Isaiah 45, he was not a man, a king who was, you know, a Jew. But he was a righteous man. And God anointed him to release the nation of Israel to reconstruct their nation after it had been so badly divided through the captivity. That's what his purpose was. That's what he was anointed for. God will use all kinds of people to get the job done, to bring forth a shift in the nation, to bring forth a shift in his church, to bring forth a shift in an individual. I can tell you those that have had powerful mantles that had effects on my life, I never actually met face to face. In fact, I didn't listen to their messages until after they had passed. People like Catherine Coleman, people like David Wilkerson. I heard, you know, when I was younger, but I didn't really engage with David Wilkerson until I was older. And he was passed. John Paul Jackson, I was listening to his messages, and I am very embarrassed to say that I didn't know he was dead when I was listening to his messages. Because the messages I was listening to were him talking about, because his mantle was to the nations, right? Directives to the nation. God had shown him what he would do in this country. God had shown him where he would go, and he would speak into the lives of other countries. That's what God showed him. And when I listened to it, I knew it to be true. I felt it by the Spirit of the Lord. So I looked up to see where he was. And I found out he passed. And like a baby, I cried and cried and cried. And I said, Lord, no. No. Why? And I actually sought him on that for a long time, because I couldn't understand why God would bring someone up, train them, you know, give them the mantle, and they would be engaging and effecting change and then be taken home. So I want to go back to the Elijah and Elisha, because Elisha received a double portion of Elijah's mantle. He could not have received that if Elijah would have stayed. There's no indication in the Bible that Elisha did any of that. Any miracles, there's no indication. He only did it by the directive of Elijah. He didn't receive the mantle to do what God had created him to do until Elijah went home. And so over the course of the last several days, the Lord has just been pouring this down on me. And as I even prayed about Neville, I said, Lord, what about his ministry? What about the mantle you placed on him? And the Lord took me back to the two witnesses. And he said, I told you months ago I'm raising up. These two witnesses are two armies. And they will walk in the heavenly authority. And the mantles of the generals that are going home today are going to fall upon these armies. Because the mantle goes with the office. That's just how it works. Just like when they anointed kings, the ability to accomplish what they accomplished was as a result of the mantle, not because everybody feared them. There was an authority released in their lives when the anointing came and the mantle of kingship was placed upon them, a godly, kingly authority that would go in and wage war on the Philistines and win, that would bring forth the ark and not be ashamed to dance before his people in honor to the living God, worshiping God, fearless to shame himself before man, because he only honored God. Only one person was ashamed of him for doing that, and that was, you know, Saul's daughter Michael. We know what happened to her. The people saw the humility and the love he had for God, for the God of Israel. And it ignited a fire within them to embrace the presence of God in their nation once again. The presence left with the ark, you know. Under Saul's reign, the presence left. But when David brought it back in, the presence of God, the blessings of God, they all returned. Mantles are important. Mantles bring revelation. Mantles bring movement. They shape nations. And we will likely be talking about mantles again in the coming weeks, because there's so much to it that we don't know. But he wants to reveal the mysteries of his kingdom to us. Why? I'm going to close with this. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let me tell you, it's the warfare. It's the principalities that were to battle. The principalities, they reign in the heavenlies. And if we are going to carry what we need to carry to do the warfare necessary to release the kingdom of God in the earth, to unlock the mysteries of the kingdom of God and tap into the inheritance he has for us, we have got to understand that there is an inheritance available to us right now if we will pay the price, if we will bow the knee, if we will pay the price And I know I said that twice, but I'm telling you, that is so significant because many of us are unwilling to pay the price. There is no dollar sign on that price, just like there's no dollar sign on the inheritance in heaven awaiting us. If we are going to engage in the evil time, the evil day, Ephesians 13, that we would be able to stand against the enemy in the evil day, which is what? Revelations. If we are going to accomplish that, my friends, if we are going to be able to war, we've got to grab hold of what he's releasing in this hour. Because the mantles of our generals are passing down. Neville paid a hefty price to carry the mantle he carried. David Wilkerson paid a hefty price to carry the mantle he carried. Catherine Coleman paid a hefty price to carry the mantle she carried. A hefty price. To pave the way for that mantle upon that one individual to be passed to the armies of God. Are you preparing yourself to receive one of those mantles? Are you grabbing hold of the horns of the altar, pleading with God to expose everything in you that you may lay it at his feet? Emptying yourself of you, so that he might fill you up with heavenly inheritance. Are you? I challenge you over the course of the next week to really seek God. Seek him on this issue. Heavenly Father, oh Heavenly Father, my spirit is just burning. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are in the process of breaking strongholds off our minds. Strongholds that would keep us, Lord, from receiving the mantles that you have for us. Strongholds that would keep us bound. No, 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 you're not really qualified. That's not really you. Strongholds, Lord God, that would keep us bound up by the enemy. Break those strongholds off your people, Lord God. That they would be able to press into you and seek you for their inheritance. Seek you for what you have created them to do. Give them the faith, Lord God. The faith to press in. The faith to even pray the prayer, God, why have you created me? Why? What's my purpose? What mantle do you have for me? Empty me that I might be prepared for whatever it is. Help me. Ignite my faith, the faith that you planted in me. Let it be ignited that I might tap into the inheritance you have for me in this hour. That false teachings, misguided teachings, that it's all for the future, it's not for now, would be broken off of people, that they might truly look upon the heavenlies and see, Lord God, that they would be created in this hour to fight this war. However that is, ignite your people, O God. And I extend that prayer. I extend it to their families, to our families, our spouses, our parents, our children, our grandchildren, our aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews. I extend that prayer. Ignite your people, O God. Break the strongholds that have been upon them, that they might rise up in faith to see their significance in this hour. And they would be drawn into your presence. Drawn into your presence, O God. To seek your face for their inheritance. I thank you, Lord. That's the church that'll raise up in these last days. That's your redefined church. Those called out of the world and up to God. In your precious name, amen. Thank you, John. Thank you.